Welcome back to part two of our introduction to anime discussion beyond anime 101. I'm your host Albert, and today we're delving into topics of anime that go beyond the basics. If you have not listened, please check out the title, A Slice of Anime Life, for the first part of this episode. According to Crunchyroll president Rahul Purini, in an interview he did on the Decoder podcast, anime is animation that's conceived and created in Japan. In today's episode, we're going to dive into how anime, and by extension, the Japanese culture, has had a significant influence on various aspects of global culture, including entertainment, art, fashion, and even technology.
What was your name?
Christopher.
Christopher, okay.
The Cookie Man.
Christopher the Cookie Man.
Yeah. That's the voice of Christopher. He actually grew up watching anime and lived in Japan for a while. We had an interesting discussion on various aspects of anime and the Japanese culture.
Do you speak Japanese?
No. Usually when I was there, I was like, oh, some is no nihongo wa gomi desu. Which is my butchered way of saying, pardon me, or sumisen. My Japanese is trash. Ego? English? I basically like, I just use my translator. So now like basic words like gohan, which is rice, and omacha, which is tea. And some of the words are hilariously translated because it's using the Japanese syllabary for like English words. So if you want to pay with your card, cardo kudasai, cardo card say, I humbly receive or please. Basically, more or less rudimentary. That's not precise. Like a person that's fluent would be like, ugh. You also have, if I wanted chicken, you can just say chicken, right?
Everybody knows chicken.
Chicken, and it's just say, exquisite chicken, kudasai.
Exquisite chicken.
Yeah, kudasai.
What does that mean?
Oh, I will.
Spicy just, chicken.
I want some extra crispy chicken.
Oh, okay. Extra crispy, extra crispy
at,
chicken.
If I'm like at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Because all the, what's called the convenience stores, the kabinis are open in Tokyo, like 24/7. So, extra crispy chicken, kudasai. Arigato.
Everybody knows. Okay.
Gardo, kudasai. Arigato. Mata ne.
Anime has introduced people around the world to Japanese language and culture, including traditional customs, foods, and values. Many fans learn basic Japanese phrases from watching anime. As we heard in the first episode, translation of Japanese anime was one way that students would practice their Japanese. Japanese is one of the major languages studied at the high school and college level, with many colleges offering it as either a standalone program or part of East Asian studies. Some of the colleges even offer study abroad programs and youth exchange programs, where students get to visit Japan and get immersed in the culture. There are even manga books specifically written to teach the Japanese language in a fun and interactive way. The gaijin refers to a foreigner that wants to learn about the Japanese culture.
And you said like in Japan, was it electrical city?
Oh, in Japan you have Akihabara.
Akihabara, right.
Which is electric town. That's for the longest time, that's like where you can get statuettes. They have huge arcade, like multi-story arcade. They also have like a lot of stuff related to anime. And that's like a lot of the people that like anime, that are like the otaku culture. So kind of like that geeky, nerdy culture, go to Akihabara.
Anime has also led to a large tourism industry in Japan and other countries. Many anime fans express an interest in visiting Japan to see the real-life locations featured in their favorite anime series. Cities like Tokyo, Kyoto, and Akihabara are popular. There are also anime conventions like the Anime Expo in Los Angeles and Comic-Con in Tokyo, attracting fans from all over the world who gather to celebrate anime, manga, and Japanese pop culture. The term otaku refers to people who show their love for anime and manga by creating costumes, fan fiction, music, videos, figures, and art.
Anime is pretty influential in terms of like Western media. like for the directors and a lot of the stuff you see is you can see, oh, I noticed that scene from an anime, or Guillermo del Toro, the director, Quentin Tarantino, heavily influenced by anime as well. Of course, the people behind The Matrix were heavily influenced by anime. Inception. The one thing, like growing up, my father, he grew up in like the 80s, but he watched a lot of Speed Racer, which is an anime. Like, anime has been kind of hinting at over here over the decades, but really got more immersed as soon as we became more and more online.
In the movies, writers and directors have been influenced by anime and have integrated some of the techniques used in anime in Western movies. The popular movie The Matrix was released in 1999, and the directors, the Wachowskis, have acknowledged that they were big fans and were influenced by anime when making the movie. In particular, anime influences include the action sequences and special effects. The Matrix explores existential questions about reality, identity, and the nature of existence, themes often found in anime. This philosophical depth is reminiscent of Ghost in the Shell and other thought-provoking anime. Studio Ghibli, one of the largest studios in the animation industry, has been nominated and won numerous awards in Japan, as well as in Europe and in the United States.
So why are you not that much into anime?
I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't let it be the only thing I enjoy. Because I also enjoy other Japanese films. I like Kurosawa. I like Ozu, who is a famous movie director. He was known for filming his films at this angle right here. You know, video games, Nintendo, PlayStation. I also enjoy Japanese literature. To me, it's like that's one area that I enjoy, but it's not the
only. It's not just the only area. No.
On anime forums like Animation, the top topics discussed includes fun, art, and fiction. Anime's distinctive style and storytelling have influenced animators and artists around the world. The use of bold lines, vibrant colors, and exaggerated expressions can be seen in other forms of animation. Anime has inspired fashion trends, including the popularity of kawaii fashion and Harajuku street style, which includes adding multiple layers of accessories to an outfit. The fashion trend tends to have a childlike appearance. It also includes toys and multicolor clothes. Characters' outfits often set trends in clothing and accessories. Anime characters and series have become iconic worldwide, inspiring cosplay or costume play, where fans dress up in outfits inspired by their favorite anime characters. Anime soundtracks and theme songs are often hits in their own right, with many artists gaining international fame through their work on anime. Japanese pop, J-pop, and Korean pop, K-pop music have been closely tied to the anime industry. Many anime series have also been adopted into video games and vice versa. The cross-pollination between the anime and gaming industry is evident in the visual styles and storylines of many games. Anime often portrays futuristic worlds and advanced technologies, which can inspire real-world innovation. For example, the concept of virtual reality was popularized by anime such as Sword Art Online. Did you know that there's anime-inspired coffee shops, restaurants, bars, and menus that are based on your favorite anime stories? Some of the themes include ramen noodle shops and bars that serve different kinds of food, drinks, and offer experiences inspired by anime and the anime community. Anime-inspired menus include ramens from Naruto, Oden soup from One Piece, and coffee jelly from The Disastrous Life of Saiki. McDonald's has even introduced a limited edition anime-inspired menu. These are limited edition, limited time McDonald's specials that are based on a fictional restaurant in the anime world called McDonald's, which is based on the real place of McDonald's. Offerings include a new sauce, packaging, and even animated series.
here's going to be like a hot take for me. So we have the comics in the United States were censored and altered, which changed the trajectory of which our comics we kind of know and enjoy now. That's a big reason why the superhero comic genre became so prominent.
Mm-hmm.
Was because of that, like, the censorship.
Okay.
I think if it wasn't as censored as heavily as it was, we would have seen different kinds of comic books becoming more and more prominent throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Like, in Japan, it wasn't as censored the same way, so they have a much more broader, different types of genres, different types of age brackets, far more thought process.
So, if it wasn't for the censorship, we think that the creativity would have been
much broader, and we would have seen that in our cartoons.
Right.
Yeah. Cartoons originally were for, you had adult cartoons and you had children cartoons, but the animation process was so expensive. It just originally, oh, the kids will be able to tolerate the poor animation, so we're going to give our cartoons to kids. And then later on, of course, as it getting closer in the 90s, 2000s, they started making more and more stuff for older people. Like, you even saw that during the 80s with, like, Beavis and Butthead, right? So, like, it's kind of the same thought process, but, like, Japan, like, already had that. So, like, in the 80s, they had, like, the really gruesome anime that you wouldn't want to necessarily show your, you know, younger kids. Just that you wouldn't want to show, like, a horror film to younger kids, yeah.
According to the authors, Joseph Steve and Tristan Tumpling, there are deeper philosophical themes woven into your favorite anime series. In their book, Anime and Philosophy, anime stories are about monsters, witches, robots, children, and spirits who grapple with the question of society, violence, ethics, morality, justice, heroism, identity, and the soul. In the cultural subverse worlds of anime and manga, anything is possible. Our imagination determines the boundaries, and we approach each new world with a different philosophical slant. Overall, anime's influence extends far beyond entertainment, shaping cultural, artistic, and technological landscapes around the world.
What's your take on anime? Do you think it's good for society, bad for society, indifferent?
It just depends on... I think it's too broad to say if it's good or bad. I just think it's just an artistic expression that people have.
Right.
Sometimes people might get too focused on, let's say, like otaku and like that, and they don't want to do anything else.
Right.
It could be bad. It just depends on how everything broader society is operating at that point. Right now, hilariously enough, Japan's been trying to be more political. Right, because they're having a shrinking population, so they're trying to, through their anime and through all their different things, they're trying to make sure they have love interests, they have children. It's like big, yeah, there's a big emphasis on that because Japan's population is shrinking. And sometimes in anime and manga, you can have pro-Japan points of views that is kind of like, I don't necessarily think that's exactly what happened, but okay. Yeah.
How do you feel about it, though? Do you think it's a good thing, bad thing?
The anime
source
thing?
Of entertainment.
So, yeah, so what do I think about anime? If you remember, we used to have a cell phone called BlackBerry. And BlackBerry used to have, it was one of the most secure phones, and its selling point was actually that it had a physical keyboard. And you could type on it. And they had the other ones like pagers, and people would be like typing on them and stuff like that. So anyway, so BlackBerry, the two CEOs were like, when Apple came out with a touchscreen, and they were like, what? Why would you have a touchscreen? Everybody wants a keyboard. And so they just basically got stuck on the keyboard. And everybody else, after their frustration with the touchscreen, they figured it out, and you know, eventually you're like, well, you know, I actually like a wider screen, and the keyboard is in my way. So how do I feel about anime? It's like this whole generation has caught up with it, and it's like, whether you like it or not, the tide is, it's there. So you, it's good to know about it. The little one over here, that's probably all she's going to be talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you got to know something.
Anime is expected to grow over the next few years. According to Crunchyroll's president, there are an estimated 800 million people that are anime aware, anime interested and watching anime outside of China and Japan. Anime has crossed language barriers around the world and is becoming more mainstream and is expected to grow. Beyond the possibilities of learning the Japanese language to cater to this ever-growing market, stocks in the anime ecosystem include Sony Group, which owns Crunchyroll, and Netflix, the largest streaming service. Other areas of interest are speech-to-text AI generation software companies. And there you have it. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone today. Thank you so much. Background Dragon Ball songs courtesy of YouTube channel Crispy Donut.